Well, it's a sobering reality to me that after preaching over 1,200 sermons from this pulpit, today is the last one as your pastor. Incidentally, my daughter, Linnea, told you at the party last week that I threw all the sermons away. And I did, the hard copies. But what she didn't tell you is that I got many of them on a jump drive. Now, how about that for Techie Jim? Well, now, to be truthful, I couldn't have done that without Bob Giusto's help. Where's Bob? There he is. So right there's a good illustration of my theme today, partnership in the gospel. Hopefully, I'll be invited back sometime to be a guest preacher. Yeah, that was a hint. but I want to say that I'm really going to miss preaching the gospel to this congregation. Your next pastor has a real treat coming, because for 26 years, this has been a very responsive congregation. You've been tuned in and you've been eager to hear the message. And you need to know that that is very encouraging to a preacher and makes him or her a better preacher over time. See, this is a partnership, all of it. I think it fitting to talk today about what has been our long partnership in the gospel. The partnership of pastor and congregation serving together to advance the kingdom of God. One can't do it without the other. It's to be a true partnership. And here I turn to our text from Philippians. The first six verses of chapter 1, I'm going to take the first two verses and then stop and then take verses 3 to 6 after that. Hear God's word. So Paul begins this letter to the congregation that he started, along with several women. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Now the word saints, as most of you probably know, was a word that Paul used to refer to any layperson who was in a relationship with Christ. So this isn't some super spiritual person, a saint. A saint is anybody in a relationship with Christ, biblically speaking. To all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers, that word is presbyter, it means elder. Together with the elders and deacons. And so Paul singles out the elders and deacons in this partnership. And I'm going to do the same a little later in this message. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me pause before moving on to say that Paul is writing this letter from Rome. It's late in his life. It's about 61 AD. He was under house arrest. Guards were watching him, but he was free in his rented house to have people come to him to hear the gospel. So here he is thinking back upon his time with what was perhaps his favorite congregation that was located in the prominent and prosperous Roman colony called Philippi, located on what today is the peninsula of Greece, which then was called Macedonia. So Paul writes to this congregation, moving on with verses 3 to 6. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Grass withers, flower fades, people come and go. The word of God stands forever. So Sally and I will both be thanking God in our remembering you, and we'll pray for you with joy because of the partnership in the gospel that has been ours from the first day, August 1987, until now. And it's because we have such history that we can be confident that God will bring his work in you to completion way down the road. I am confident of this because of your Christ-centered, biblical way of doing church. And within that, there has always been that warmth in the congregation. There's always been that openness. There always has been that acceptance of people, where they're at. These qualities have been there and remain there, even as people have come and gone and the face of the congregation has changed repeatedly. While holding firmly to Jesus as head of the church and to the Bible as the Word of God, you do not try to hammer people into a given mold spiritually. You accept people where they are and allow the Spirit of God to do his unique work in every individual as he blows where he wills. That's a healthy church environment. Because you are this way, I'm confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. So know that we will be praying for you. I'd like to share some things about our partnership that I'm so grateful for. One, we have partnered in loving one another. Last Sunday's party brought out so much of the love that has been there the whole way. And what a great time that was for the whole church. You know, part of what made it so great for me is that I looked around and I saw everybody having such a great time. So thank you for that day. That day will remain indelibly in our memory. And I want to repeat what I said at the close of the party. The best thing about my 26 years here has been getting to know you and your stories and being with you in all the stuff of life, the joys of weddings and baptisms and finding new spiritual vitality blowing through us as we discuss matters of word and spirit. All the times of just sitting down to share life over a meal or coffee or in your house or my house or in my office and just talking about how things are going with our souls. And also sharing together in the sorrows of memorial services and unemployment and interpersonal conflicts and troubles at home. And then there are just all the times of just plain crazy fun. The outdoor adventures and plenty of laughter. It all together is a rich experience that both fills one's tank and wrings one out sometimes. So as Sally and I move away, we grieve the losses we are experiencing. And we understand how you would grieve too, many of you. Of course, we have partnered in loving one another. Secondly, we have partnered in loving Christ. Partnered in loving one another. Partnered in loving Christ. So many ministries we have initiated together to bring glory to Him. I just want you to listen. Listen to this list of ministries through the years. All of which we engaged in together. Men's and women's small group, let's see, beginning of the list here. Okay, men's and women's small group Bible studies. Through the Bible in a year. Men's and women's retreats. Couples retreats. The marriage course. Friendship evangelism seminars. Adult education classes. The Fall Festival. Many of you won't remember the Fall Festival. That was back in 1996. That was a big outdoor event we had. We set up a big tent up here in front. It was an outreach program for the whole community, and people came from all over town. Christmas and Easter open houses. Healing services. Spirit Alive weekends. That's where we did two of those. We would bring a team in, a ministry team from outside the church, and they ran the show for a whole weekend. Actually, it was Thursday through Sunday. We did two of those Spirit Alive weekends, which really generated a lot of energy and spiritual vitality for a while. 40 Days of Community. A lot of you remember that. That wasn't that long ago. That was a 40-day event of just encouraging and building up the church. Alpha. Men's Fraternity. Stephen Ministry. Celebrate Recovery Groups. The Rotational Sunday School Model. Awana. VBS. The Christmas Pageant. The Amazing Race. Mission trips, Operation Christmas Child, child sponsorship through Compassion International, Lenten fast to raise money for Living Water International, Love Thy Neighborhood, Deacons TLC lists, Choir cantatas, Praise Team Coffee House Evenings, The Shepherd's Pantry, MOPS, Wings of Change. Isn't that amazing? And I'm sure I'm missing a couple, but clearly, such a broad and diverse smorgasbord of ministries through the years in basically a 200-member congregation could only be implemented through a large partnership of people. With vision, energy, and a love for Christ. Well, since Paul singled out elders and deacons in the partnership he had with the church of Philippi, so will I. It has always been a tremendous visual, I think, for us. When we have ordained elders and deacons each January and ask for, we'll bring them forward, We do the questions of ordination vows, and then we ask for other ordained elders and deacons in the sanctuary to come forward for the laying on of hands. And I don't think it's an exaggeration that on that given Sunday in January, probably about half the congregation gets up and comes forward. So many of you have willingly answered the call to deep involvement in the governing and shepherding of the congregation. And I know that most of you who have done so would say that you grew spiritually in a major way during your tenure on the boards. And you've worked your tails off. In the three churches I've served, I will tell you that the elders and deacons in this congregation are among the finest I've ever worked with. You have had your pulse on all the ministries I listed a moment ago. And you elders have given leadership to your committees and ministry teams that have brought forth the vision for many of those ministries I just mentioned. You deacons, those of you who are deacons, have been such a tremendous help to me in watching after the needs here in the congregation and responding to those needs. You have been shepherds of the congregation in a true sense, and you have been good listeners and have been there to meet practical needs in times of need. My working relationship with ordained officers of this church has been a wonderful partnership. And I also have served with a lot of wonderful staff over the years, paid and volunteer. And right now, there is such a terrific group of people in place, with Louise as administrative assistant, and Aaron as youth pastor, and Christy as children's ministry director, and Bonnie Mahan, and Mike and Christy Hutchings in music ministries, and Jaylene Plummer with Wings of Change. So with the right interim pastor to come, WPC is well poised for the next chapter of God's unfolding plan. Well, as I wrap up, one biblical scenario comes to mind. And it's from the Old Testament, when Moses, having led the Israelites through the wilderness to the verge, to the edge of the promised land, he turns the reins of leadership over to Joshua. And he says to Joshua, God's promised land is before you to enter in. And I'm not going in there with you. But God will be with you for the future of promise. And he will fight for you. And he will fight with you in your taking the land. And he will be faithful to you, to his promise, to make you a blessing to the nations. I think WPC is at a similar moment. There's a promised land out there for you to enter into and permeate with the aroma of Christ. And I'm not going with you. But God will be with you. And he will raise up the right new leader whom he's already prepared. And together you will enter the land and advance the kingdom in the communities that surround you as well as beyond. So, go get them. I'll be cheering. Sally and I both will be cheering and praying from Colorado, and we will look forward to visits, to share life again as friends. Truly. And we have a house. And we got 3 bedrooms. And, you know, truly, you know, I would just love to have you visit Denver. We didn't expect to wind up in Denver, but that's where we are. We expected to be in Colorado Springs. Such are God's changing plans. This week I'm going to email you my address, and so you'll all have it. And it would be great to just show you a good time out there. One thing I'll share with you, just kind of a, you know, kind of a special God wink, you know, upon us. You know, and I shared this with some of you. In looking for housing out there, that was a struggle. That was a real struggle. Sally went out there for 10 days and, you know, just combed the area. And we were looking for a place to rent. And, you know, either house or townhouse or, you know. But a lot of housing out there, so much of the housing out there is just packed in, you know, next to each other, and there's very few mature trees where the cities are developing to the east, which is just plains. And you know, we're green people, you know, water people, you know, tree people. This house that we found, which was the last house. In fact, Sally wasn't even going to look at it. She was so wiped out. But she had a friend with her who said, let's look at it. So they looked at it, and it's a ranch house, small ranch house that has, you know, nice mature trees around it, and it backs right up to a park. You go through a gate in the backyard, and you're in the middle of a beautiful green park. You know, praise him. Praise him for that. Heavenly Father, together we look to you in this time of transition and major change. We do know, at least in our heads, that there is no growth without change, and no change without loss, and no loss without pain. So we're feeling it, many of us. In looking for your steady and loving presence to comfort and to guide and to provide for the future, we give you thanks for the years that you have given us together. And we trust that you're pleased with the kingdom work that we have done together. Bring WPC into your new land of promise, and bring your chosen leadership to take over the reins and guide the work of the transition team in the process, and later the pastor nominating committee. And by your Spirit, keep the congregation unified in moving forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think we're going to do things a little